Our presentation today is by Kenan Selik and Nabuko Kibe. And the title is Raising Language Diversity Awareness in Japan Through Web-Based Open Access Application.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kenan Selik. I'm working on Rikkyu language school Miyako. And I wanted to say a few words in Miyako, but they don't have any words for hello, so I will just skip that part. This is a presentation in cooperation with Professor Nobuko Kibe, which is sitting here, and I will do the presentation. We're both working for the National Institute for Japanese Language and Linguistics. Okay, so today we're going to talk about language diversity in Japan, and I will ask you, I will make demonstration later, so I will ask you a very simple question with a complicated answer. I love these questions. How many languages spoken in Japan? Okay, so let's make first a clarification between recent languages brought about by recent immigration and traditional languages, which I define as languages spoken in Japan before 1853, the year where Admiral Perry came with guns and cannons to open the frontiers. So how many traditional languages spoken in Japan? So let's take a look at the traditional view of languages in Japan. As you can see, three big areas. In the north, we have Ainu, which is a kind of famous but moribund language. Then we have Japanese mainland at the center, in which you have Japanese spoken in a lot of dialects. And then you have the Ryukyuan languages spoken in Ryukyu archipelago, which divide into northern Ryukyuan and southern Ryukyuan. And Ryukyuan languages and Japanese belong to the same language family. So, if we take, for example, how many Ryukyuan languages, and we look at lists of ethnologue, we have 11 Ryukyuan languages. Now, every one of these languages is endangered. So let's look at the Atlas of World Language Endanger, and we find only 6. So the question is, where have all the languages gone? Okay. So you will ask me how to define the language. Well, we can use a very sensible criteria of mutual intelligibility. And now we have a very specific question, how many mutually unintelligible traditional languages spoken in Japan? It's very specific, it's very good because we can test it, we can measure it, and we can answer it in an objective way. So unfortunately, we do not have that many studies on intelligibility, but there's a very good study here by a team led by Yamada. And they did many things. They tested with simple stories mutual intelligibility between different languages. So they did a test between Miyako, southern Ryukyuan, and Okinarebu, northern Ryukyuan, and they found less than 3% understanding. But this is expected. Well, northern Ryukyuan and southern Ryukyuan is very different. They also tested a Ryukyuan language, Okinarebu, with speakers of standard Japanese, and they found less than 2% understanding. Again, this is expected. But they did something more interesting. They tested what is considered a Japanese dialect belonging to the Japanese family, which is called Tsugaru when it's spoken in the north of Japan. And they tested this dialect with speakers of standard Japanese, and they found 8% understanding, less than 8%. So this is considered a dialect, but still you can't understand. Well, it's one word in 10. So if we take Japanese, actually we would find several different languages, but the problem we have is we have a low feasibility of exhaustive mutual intelligibility studies because all of these dialects, Japanese dialects, are endangered, few speakers, and elderly. We also think that, for example, Kagoshima dialect would not be understood by speakers of standard Japanese, and even more interesting, the dialect of Narada, which is very close to Tokyo, but would not be understood by speakers of Japanese, it is thought, right? So, go back to the question. How many mutually unintelligible traditional languages spoken in Japan? Well, we don't really know, and that's the result, okay. So we do know that we don't really know how many mutually unintelligible traditional languages there are in Japan, and that's the message that we want to convey. Now, language is a kind of big unit. If you look at smaller units like language varieties, like dialect, we kind of know how many of them we have because we're working on the field, we're working with a lot of local communities, and we can understand the systematic differences between dialects, so that we know that there are at least several hundreds of language varieties spoken in Japan. Of course, most of these are mutually intelligible. But when you think about it, this is not really surprising because The Japonic family has an historical depth comparable to the Romance language family. So it is expected to find as much diversity in Europe as you would find in Japan. Considering the fact also that Japan is an island environment, which is spreading language diversification. Okay, so you could take any grammatical feature and look at this feature across all Japanese language varieties, and you would find an incredible amount of variation. Let's just look at vocalic system. I've only indicated 6 different locations, and you can see that there's a lot of different vocalic systems. Again, if you add these locations, we would find much more variation in the vocalic system. So there's a lot of linguistic diversity in Japan, but this wealth of language diversity is not properly acknowledged. It's not really known, especially among non-linguists. So people are not told about this, and they're not taught about this in school. And you have another thing, for example, you have a kind of negative attitudes towards this language diversity, especially also in the case of speakers of traditional languages. And in the place where I'm working, in Miyako Island, in the town part of the island, it is considered social status not to be able to speak the traditional language. So it's a kind of very weird thing to have that. And again, well, the challenge that we face in this situation is how to raise awareness of linguistic diversity in Japan. The other thing is how to make it known simply. People do not know about it, and how to appeal about it. There's nothing wrong about linguistic diversity. So researchers in Japanese linguistics have begun acknowledging this linguistic diversity, and they have been researching actively accordingly. So we have, since the 2000, or the end of the 2000s, a number of reference grammar publications. This is a small list, you have a lot more of these. And these are very good reference grammar, describing one language variety spoken in one village in detail and as a whole system. But they raise several issues. First, they're highly atomistic. So they focus on one variety spoken in one village and have no clue what's going on in the next village. They're highly technical, so they're not accessible to non-linguists. We have problems with standardization of data because we have different traditions, especially Ryukyuan tradition and Japanese dialect tradition. Most of the scientific output is written in Japanese, so not accessible to non-Japanese speakers. And the biggest problem, which I think is the biggest problem, is they do not always publish the linguistic primary data. We have great description and poor documentation. So these research alone are not sufficient to get the big picture of language diversity in Japan and to convey it to non-linguists. We also have a lot of linguistic materials produced by speakers of traditional languages in Japan. In this case, we have the problem with quality control, so we can have anything from masterpieces, and this is an example, this is a dictionary of one of the Miyako dialect. It is a masterpiece. He took the professor that wrote it is a local, and it took him 25 years to compile the dictionary. Just proofreading took 5 years. But this is a masterpiece, and he did it alone. But in other linguistic materials produced by local people, sometimes you have problematic orthography and so forth, with a lot of problems. So the question is what to do. So our answer was to kind of think about a platform which would follow the following, which would meet the following conditions. First, it had to be comparative with standardized data. We want to compare language. We wanted to implement quality control for good documentation, and we wanted to have something easy to update so that researchers who are not used to publish primary linguistic data could just, in a very simple way, publish their data. It has to be free, open access, that is obvious, appealing. We want to work with non-linguists and bilingual. So we built the database of endangered languages of Japan, which is the result of 2 projects at Ninjal. And one of the projects will continue until 2021. Okay, so this is the homepage. I will make a demonstration a bit later. I will just explain a bit about the project. So, we have a team of researchers, 40 researchers working on 40 language varieties. They're not full-time researchers, they're just participating in the project, right? We have a database with 2 different components, a basic vocabulary component, which is a lexical database, an oral text component, which is a discourse database. And we have a homepage on which we can publish the contents of the database. So I will focus on basic vocabulary components. So far we have 13 language varieties covered and more than 8,000 data points. So let's just play with the thing. Okay. So it's here. You can see here the address, kikigengo.ninja.ac.jp. And we have the English version, so /en for the English version. You can switch languages there. Okay. So we have the contents of the database, basic vocabulary part, and oral text. So we'll present the basic vocabulary parts. So you need to wait a bit for the database to load. It's going to take a little time. In Japan, it's faster. Okay, it's here. So we have different areas. Oh, maybe I should show you the map. Okay, I forgot to show you the map. Okay, these are the varieties that we have in our database for basic vocabulary. As you can see, very skewed towards Rukian languages. We're going to fix that next year. And we have different areas, for example, Miyako, Yonaguni, Shirahoe is in preparation. And Miyako, we have smaller varieties, so two varieties for Miyako, two for Okinoerabu, five for Kikai, which is a small island, and two for Hachijo and so forth. But these are the different areas, and I will sort the areas by from north to south on the side. So let's say that you want to, the word for head. You can search it. It's very simple. Then you have the contents that correspond to head. Let's sort by item. And you have all these words in all these languages. As you can see, you have a lot of variations. And you have the sound, so you can listen to them. Okay, this is for Hachijo. Then we have Kikai.
Hamachi.
Okay. Then another.
Dinta.
This is the same island, two different villages. So the same concept with two different words. Then we also have, let's screw down.
Chiboro.
As you can see, this is very interesting. So this is Okinoerabu, a Northern Rukian languages.
Chiboro.
Language. And it's the same cognate as Hachijo.
Tobodi.
Okay, but this is kind of interesting fact that we love as linguists. And then we have Miyako.
Kanamai.
And another village in Miyako.
Kanaman.
With a different vowel at the end. Okay, so we can play with a lot of things. As you can see, we have the sound file for each of the item in the database. And we have something else. Maybe you have noticed, but we have these symbols. There are the implementation of pitch pattern, because we have prosodic, lexical prosodic accent in Japanese, in most Japanese dialects, and we ensure that we provide this information as well. So for example, in dialect of Nishihara, you have three different prosodic classes, and we have this information as well, and the document that permits to, that enables you to define which class the word belongs. So you can't define the class by just listening to the word. You need to have this carrier sentence in order to define which class it belongs. But we also have that, because that's good documentation. So there's another word that I love. So let's go to categories. You can search by categories. So all the words related to these categories. So let's search for tool. And so you have all the words for tool. And for example, the mallet, which is a word I like. So it's is a kind of wood piece where you can do things with cereals and things. What's interesting is that for Hachijo, you have kine. It's a bit, it's loading, it's not loading, right?
Kine.
And then on the Northern Rukian, in the Northern Rukian languages, you have a word that is cognate with, that is going back to something like ajimu.
Azumo.
Azumo. Ajimu. Adumo.
Okay, there's a lot of variations. Okay, and when you go to Miyako, then you have something different.
Natsuka.
Well, okay, which is completely different. And again, in Yonaguni?
Kabat.
And Kabat, this is a noun etymology. Ajimu also has a noun etymology. Okay, so this is the basic vocabulary section. We have another section, which is oral text. So again, we have different areas. All of these are Rican languages. Again, very skewed, it's not a very good thing. So let's go to Tarama Island, and we have the story of Momotaro, which is a very famous story in Japan, and we have transcription and translation. I haven't done the English gloss yet, but we also have English gloss, Japanese gloss, for example, and we can listen to this. And you can follow the text as it unfolds. Well, you can also click anywhere and you have the sound. It's loading. Okay, so this is how it works. So I will explain a bit how we're doing that. If I'm okay. So, for the basic vocabulary, remember we're working with 40 different researchers. So we have two questionnaires, standardized questionnaires that we give to the researchers. We give them instructions for the field. They go into the field, we finance them, and they gather with local speakers, and then they process the data. So we have different, again, standardization thing like transcription. They have to provide IPA and Japanese orthography that we decide, prosodic information, commands, example sentences, processing of sound files. Oh yeah, I forgot to show you something in the basic vocabulary part. We also have a system to embed example sentences. No, it's loading. Okay, let's wait for it. Okay, so for example, in Uruka dialect, you have an example sentence as well. And if you click, you can hear the sentence. So for every item, we intend to provide example sentences, and you can add as many as you want. Okay, so here, example sentences and the processing of sound files to count them, etc. So this is something done by the researchers with like broad guidelines. And then we, at the research center, we integrate the data we retrieve into the database and we publish it. Okay. And for a text, the same. So this is kind of centralized organization, but it enables several things. First of all, we can have standardization of data, which is very important for understanding linguistic diversity. Secondly, we can have quality control. So very good data, usable by linguists, and also enjoyable by non-linguists. And a balanced choice of areas where we're not yet quite there, but we're working on that. If you want to know about linguistic diversity in Japan, well, there's one place where you have to go. That's our site. Yes. So what are the possibilities for the future? Well, we of course we're perpetually expanding the database. The project is still running until 2021. We hope to have at least 30 different language varieties covered. But there are also different possibilities for the future. First of all, we have built a very simple tool for publishing lexical data. So it's very, very simple programming. So if you have, for example, any lexical data that is clean, that's important, we can publish it in 5 minutes. No, I'm joking, in 7 minutes, yeah. So maybe we can build on that and make the program available for everybody, but we're thinking about this technical perspective. There's also a perspective, a data perspective. So we're building this documentation data and it's open access, you can use it. And we are going to distribute the database as well, not just publish it on the site. So if you want to use it, for example, for teaching the language, well, you can. If you want to use it for making games or applications, well, you can, because that will be open access. So you can have, for example, most of these languages do not have any teaching materials. But if you have a list of words, 600 basic words, and example sentences, and the sound, then you can begin by using these resources for teaching the language. Okay, so if you want to know about linguistic diversity in Japan, go to our site, and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. So, questions?
So you didn't explicitly mention dialect change, and by dialect change I mean A understands B, B understands C,
yes.
C understands D. A understands C only with great difficulty, and A and C don't understand each other at all. And of course, in order to talk about the number of languages, be able to count them at all, you need to have an explicit definition of how you treat dialect change in terms of languages. So if you were to draw a language boundary anywhere in a dialect chain, on either side of that boundary where you have so-called different languages, people understand each other, right? So how do you treat that? I mean, and you gave us some intelligibility percentages, but they were from selected areas that were quite apart from each other. So I just wonder how much chaining there is in between.
Well, so that's the problem for Japanese dialects. In the case of Ryukyuan languages, it's quite clear because you have islands. So what is between islands, you can't understand, and that's very clear. In the case of Miyako, it's the same thing. You have the Miyako archipelago and then a few islands around. The languages spoken in a few islands around, they're not understandable by people from the main island. So it's very clear for the Ryukyuan languages. In the case of Japanese dialects, this is a problem. So for example, Tsugaru and Standard Japanese, you would have a dialect chain, actually, from Tsugaru to Tokyo. So, well, this is not kind of my research, so I was just, you know, asking questions, very complicated answers, and this is one of the tricky points of defining languages in Japan. So I don't really have an answer, and dialect chain is a very big problem for defining languages. So I don't think maybe we should define language variety with systematic differences that could be a working definition and count them. But languages is very difficult to define.
Okay, thank you.
For a very interesting presentation and valuable resource. I'm curious how the average non-linguist in Japan relates to the what looks like IPA transcription of these languages. Is that accessible and can be made accessible to them?
Okay, so this is the English site. So this is for English speakers. Now we turn it to Japanese, then of course you will have Japanese orthography, so I will show you. No, of course, this is, yeah.
You can't render these languages in Japanese orthography, or you can't render the pronunciation differences, can you?
Yes, you can, but it's it depends on the language. So, for example, let's say the same word, head. Okay, so now we forget about the IPA. Then you had something like this for non-linguists in Japan. No, for most of these languages, it's not really difficult a problem to write language in Japanese orthography because they have fewer vowels. Now, you have the problem when you have more vowels or like specific consonants, like glottalized consonants. Now, we have tricks to represent them, and there are people working on the orthography. And you have a kind of tradition in some places. For example, in Miyako, I said that you had this... You had this dictionary. So he devised an orthography which is very good and very easy to read. So even if you know the phonology of the language, but you don't really know the orthography rules of the language, you can still read it because it's very intuitive. So we're trying to have these intuitive ways of writing all these languages. But the Japanese version, of course, is with Japanese orthography. Okay, maybe.
I have a comment and also a question. First, thank you for the talk, it's very interesting. The comment regards this issue of counting languages, particularly in the situation of a dialect continuum. My suggestion there is that maybe it's not necessary or appropriate to count varieties, but rather to just describe diversity as it actually
is, yeah.
Exists. But then it sort of leads into my actual question, just that to what extent is sort of counting or enumeration or demarcation, naming itself, how are community ideas and definitions of language versus dialect versus whatever integrated into that? And I did notice with the example that you gave, the person who spent 25 years on a dictionary, that the title of the dictionary had Hogen dialect in it.
Yes.
And that was also revealing to me, because you've been describing these as languages.
So
I'm using a more sort of capital L linguistics definition.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, I don't really intend to count languages in Japan because there's too many problems and it's, for the word dialect, Hogen in Japanese, first of all, Ryukyuan languages are traditionally not referred to as language, like the word go. So they're referred to as Ryukyu Hogen, which is dialect. So the fact that he uses the word Hogen is a kind of traditional way of referring to one Ryukyuan language. There is another problem with the fact that you have so many dialects inside Miyako. So when he's writing Irabu Hogen, he intends to say that, well, it's not representative of the Miyako language, but of the Irabu part, language variety. So I would say that in Rukyus, people have fairly good understanding of dialectal differences, and one village, one language variety. As in the case for Japanese mainland, I'm not working on that, so I can't really answer you. But in the Rukyus, it's really clear.
Thank you for your talk. This was really interesting. I have two questions, but one is very quick, I hope. So this is a kind of repository or an archive? Is the data being migrated or stored somewhere else?
It's hosted by NINJAL, National Institute for Japanese and Linguistics. It works both ways. This is just a publication page, but we have this database on our servers. And if you have lexical data on any languages in Japan, we can put it there.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was actually my next question. So I work in Southern Amami, Oshima, and I noticed that you don't have.
Yeah, we don't have
Southern Amami.